Mr. Ben Law, otherwise known as the Financial Bloke, welcome to My Worst Leadership Moment podcast.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me here, Brendan.
Pleasure, mate. Always good to talk to you, buddy. Mate, my worst leadership moment, we're going to dive into that hot topic, and I'm sure you've got something you can share. We've all had these experiences, but how about you give our listeners and watchers a little bit of background on who Ben Law is, the Financial Bloke, and what's got you to where you are today, buddy?
Yeah, so my background, I'll just give you the short, sharp answer. I grew up on a cattle property in western or northwestern New South Wales. I was a financial advisor for 20 years. In 2020, I had a heart scare. Luckily, it was only something minor. I then decided to retire from the financial advice industry, start up, as you mentioned, the Financial Bloke podcast, which is essentially about helping farmers and graziers intergenerationally grow, protect and transition the wealth that they've got. And I also do strategic coaching for farming families as well. So just a small group. That's my background.
Fantastic, mate. Thank you for sharing. And I have to say to our listeners and watchers, Financial Bloke Podcast is an awesome podcast. You do not have to be a farmer or an agribusiness. I'm not a farmer or an agribusiness at all, but I get some great gold nuggets there. And even, you know, Ben's voice comes across beautifully across the airwaves as well. So highly recommend the Financial Bloke podcast. Mate, let's dive into the topic, my worst leadership moment. So how about you give us a bit of background about the story and your worst leadership moment?
So I thought about this a lot, and I think I said to you before we started this, Brendan, that I thought mine was really boring when I thought about it. But I thought sometimes in life, it's the boring things that have the best lessons in them. They're the things we should possibly know, but we don't necessarily execute on. And mine was a number of years ago when I had my financial advice business. And at the time, we were really successful in the normal metrics. You know, we had a growing business, we had a growing team. I couldn't have asked for better at that stage. And then my wife, who was integral to the business, fell pregnant and went off on maternity leave to have our daughter, Sophie. And my leadership failure was the fact that I was in control of the business, I was leading the team, we're doing really well, and then I knew Sarah was going to go off on maternity leave, and I left it and left it and left it, and I didn't employ someone quick enough to come in and essentially replace her and do a few other bits and pieces in the business. And so I backed myself into a corner, and I ended up employing the wrong person. Now, upon reflection, the reason I employed that wrong person was I always had a business policy that I hired for character and trained for skill. And what I mean by that is I'd employ people with the right values, morals, work ethic, you know, those things that sort of build up character. That was the number one driver for me. And then if they didn't have the skills or the technical skills to do the job or the experience, they had the capability but not the experience, well, I'd then train them up. And the reason I did that is I just wanted the right fit culturally within the business. And that worked really well for me. And I usually employed quite often mums. So they were wanting part-time work, you know, mum hours, 9 till about 2:30. And they were usually smart, intelligent, hardworking, loyal, honest, all those things I wanted out of a person. And so I employed this new person. They were highly skilled in the area that I needed them, but there were some red flags around character, around their values. And I took this person on. After about 3 months, it became extremely clear to me that they were the wrong fit. And again, I stuck my head in the sand. I knew I needed to do something about it, but I had a new child, business was booming, I had a whole lot of other pressures, and I just kept sweeping it under the rug. And it wasn't until one of my best employees turned around and said, "It's her or me," that I was actually forced into action. And so my failure was the fact that I hired for skill and I ignored the character and values, and then I didn't take action soon enough when there was a problem.
Yeah, unfortunately, can be a bit of a common situation in organizations. But you talk about this knowing doing gap. So you've already had this knowledge. You knew to hire on character and train on skill. What was the gap in the doing?
Well, I think the real clarity around it for me was the fact that the pain of doing nothing was less than the pain of doing something. So in other words, I'd tried to fix it, and it was uncomfortable in the workplace, and it just wasn't a good fit. But having that conversation and then managing her out and ultimately firing her in my mind was far greater pain. And I think Tony Robbins talks about the pain of doing nothing has to become greater than the pain of taking action and making a change. And I didn't reconcile that. And I think the pain was worse of doing nothing, but I just had so many things on that I just deprioritized it. And I knew it was a problem. I knew I had to do something about it, but I just naively hoped that would work itself out. And I think that was the massive failure on my part. Mm.
Tell us a little bit about the impact, the consequences of this, you know, what you determine as your worst leadership moment. What sort of environment did it create during that 3 months, and what are some of those behaviors that you saw?
It became toxic. So what I want to be really clear is that employee wasn't necessarily a really bad person. Like, you couldn't sort of look at her and go, this person is just a horrible person that's evil and narcissistic and all those sorts of things. It just wasn't a good cultural fit. We all operated as a team, and we had each other's back, and I needed people to execute what I asked them to do. And she'd had so many years working in the wrong environment, and she basically did whatever the hell she wanted to do. I'd ask her to do stuff, she wouldn't do it. Senior staff to her would ask her to do things, and she just would give them the face value, oh, yes, I'll do that, and then just wouldn't. And it became this passive-aggressive toxicity within the workplace. And so that's why there was no, you know, dust-ups with people yelling and screaming and fighting. It was just this undercurrent of passive-aggressive anger within the business. And eventually what happened was I got incredibly stressed out about it, because instead of being able to allocate these jobs to the people and just say, I pay you to do your job, if there's a problem, come back and tell me, I had to continually follow them up to make sure things were being done. My team broke down massively. So in other words, they all didn't get on well, which then change the culture in our business, which I'd worked so hard to build. And also, too, our client interactions failed as well. You know, we had a very high level of service to our clients. We prided ourselves on that, Brendan. And what actually started to happen was things started to slip through the cracks. You know, the standards started to drop. And that all came from that inaction of myself as to lance the wound. And I don't know if I said it already, but we jokingly say now is we let a terrorist into the organization. That's what we basically did. And then that filtered right through not only to my personal life, it also flowed through to profitability, and it also flowed through to our other team members. And to be frank, I was a hair's width away from losing my rock star in the business. She was just an amazing employee and team member, and I was just, and again, this is a testament, Brendan, back to hiring for character. Any other person, I think, possibly would have just said, bugger this, I'm out, I'm not working here anymore. She actually came and sat down and said, I love working here, I love working with you guys, I love what you do. She said, but I've got to be frank with you. She says, I am going to resign. It's either her or me. And I don't mind if you choose her, that's fine. I just wanted to let you know that was the case in advance. And I can sort of say, like, I hired her based on character, the good employee based on character. And so that actually saved me in many ways. So yeah, that was essentially became a toxic workplace in many ways.
Mm. Was that the catalyst, that great employee coming to you? Was that the catalyst in doing something about it?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, it definitely was. It was the pain point. Because up until then, I'd let my rock star employee sort of selfishly carry the load, shall I say. And then soon as she said, right, oh, I'm out, I looked around and went, holy dooly, like, how am I going to fill this gap? Because I've got the terrorists is not pulling their weight. The rest of the team's not as good. How am I going to fill this? And that was the absolute catalyst. I'm very ashamed to say, I think, because as a leader, I should be protecting my team and providing them the great environment to thrive. But instead, I think it was ultimately cowardly. I sort of essentially just closed my door, hid in my office and went, I just can't deal with this right now. And I can make all the excuses, like I had a 1-month-old baby and all that sort of stuff and wasn't getting sleep. But the ultimate answer is the buck stopped with me, and I didn't do what I should have done.
Mm. Yeah, living near the beach, mate, like you do and I do. I guess we put our head in the sand, but some of the clients that you work with, they probably put their head in the cow trough and just hope that it goes away, right?
yeah, you're absolutely right, mate. I mean, and look, we've got to be blunt and we've got to be fair. I mean, it happens more often than not. I mean, most people will avoid a difficult conversation in a business because it is difficult. It's not easy. And, you know, 50% of the population is disagreeable, 50% are agreeable. Some people like those arguments and friction. Others don't. I don't like friction. That's my nature. I'm a communicator. I like to find peace. And I struggled throughout my career with difficult conversations. And that's something that just has to be learned.
Mm. Let's go into that learning side, because again, you knew this, you talked about it in your explanation there. You knew that that's what you need to do, hiring character train on skill. Maybe you underestimated the impact of not following your own rules. So what did you learn? What's been the greatest learning for you that you've taken forward?
Yeah, look, I'm a very strong value-based person. So in other words, I always talk about values. I train my daughter, who's 7, in values. We talk about it as a family. We have our family values. I talk with all my clients about values. And so that event solidified in my absolute core the importance of values and matching values. And so what we do now is we have our employees or the people that work for us, it's a values conversation first. You know, what's important to you? Who's important to you? And also too, with all our professional service providers. So if we use accountants or lawyers or bankers, you know, internet service providers, et cetera, we look at their values first. It's not necessarily the cheapest or the best. It's that, will these people be good to do business with? And the same for our clients. So I hire essentially and fire my clients based on values. And that sounds a little bit harsh, Brendan, but that's part of our filter process. You know, we've got a checklist of who we're going to bring into the business. We're very selective on who we take on, and we look at it and we go, do their personal and business values match ours? And if they don't, we have to have a very serious think about whether we want to take on these people as clients. Now, I can tell you, mate, my experience of dealing with plenty of business owners over the years is that the clients that give you the most grief are the ones that don't match the values to yours. That's where you get the conflict. And so I've gone back over all the clients that I've gone, you know what? They weren't a match for me and my business. And the vast majority of the time, it was a values mismatch.
So, mate, what I really want to know to finish up is, how has all this experience you knew and you didn't always act on, and what you shared today, how has that shaped you into this leader you are today and your leadership style?
I think I've, again, as I mentioned before, around the values, that's really solidified in my DNA now, how important values are in business. But also too, it's given me the experience to know that sticking your head in the sand and not having the difficult conversations when you need to is just kicking the can down the road. I heard a guy, Jordan Peterson, say a while ago, and I might stuff this up, it was something like, a disagreement deferred is a disagreement magnified or multiplied. And I think it's the same in business, as if you kick that can down the road, yeah, you leave that for later on, but it's going to get to you in the end. It's not going to resolve itself, and you're better off to have the conversation up front, pull that band-aid off and get it done, learn the lesson and move on, than let that cancerous problem in your life essentially, how do I put this, eat away at the business. And there's one thing I just want to say. I heard this the other day, Brendan, which is I collect quotes, things that resonate with me. I write them on a post-it note and stick them on the wall. And there's one sitting on my wall in number one position at the moment. And it said, and it was off a podcast I listened to in America. And it was, the heaviest things in life aren't iron and gold, but unmade decisions. The reason you're stressed is you may have decisions to make and you're not making them. And I think that one for me was really powerful, in the sense that, you know, we carry around the weight of these indecisions. And I think the sooner we can make a decision and solve that problem, even if it brings up another problem, that's okay. That's a huge weight off our shoulders and also for the people around us.
Yeah, mate, absolutely well said. I can definitely resonate with that as well myself. So I'll have to steal that quote and put it up on my own wall to keep reminding myself. Mate, what you've shared today, I guess that a couple of lessons that I think I've taken is that, and reinforcing to people listening and watching today, is that, like you said many times, hire on character, train on skill. But even before that, what you indicated is you sort of pushed yourself into a corner. You know, it'll be, you'll get it sorted. You had enough time. Last I checked, I think babies take about 9 months to incubate. So you had about 9 months to sort yourself out and you didn't. So there's a lesson in that around sort of prioritizing and make sure we're spending time on the high value activities, but then hiring on character training on skill, really getting good at that. Doesn't mean you're going to be a perfect recruiter, let's say, and always bring in the right people, but you've got a much higher chance of doing that. And if you do that, then those impacts on the business and your great employees, you are very, very fortunate, because a lot of people, even with the ones that you've hired on character and trained on skill, they wouldn't always come to you and say, hey, it's me or this person, like, hey, I really love it here. So kudos to that wonderful lady who is in your business and no doubt a lifelong friend of yours, I would say. So once again, mate, so many learnings from what you shared today. Thank you so much for being one of our guests on my worst leadership moment.
Thanks very much for having me, Brendan. I love what you're doing, and I think I can't wait for all the episodes to come out so I can gather some of the wisdom that you've collected, mate.
Thank you, mate.